Matthew chapter 12 and verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. Shall he send forth judgment unto the truth, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust." Now we're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 42 to find the exact spot in the prophecy of Isaiah where this has been taken from by Matthew. Isaiah 42. We'll read the first four verses. Speaking prophetically of the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah has been guided to write, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." Just one more scripture in Luke's Gospel chapter 7. Luke's Gospel chapter 7. Verse 36. "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went near the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box to anoint him, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and had wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw, he spake to him himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is to touch with him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There is a certain creditor which had two debtors, one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he thanked and forgave them both. Come, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he, to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned unto the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith saved thee. Go in peace. And the Lord blessed us for reading our precious word. Kindly return to Matthew 12 with me, the portion we read at the beginning of our reading tonight. I had an exercise about this portion of the Word of God earlier. And when one is seeking to be guided by God to know when and where and what to say at a time such as this, once in a while God uses certain things to urge us to stand upon our feet. Brother Ronald, in his message on Habakkuk, seems to touch just that desire that the Lord has placed in my heart to take this message up. When he spoke of the prophet who showed tenderness and compassion. And brothers and sisters, I would like to take this passage up in four or five different ways tonight with you. First of all, to see how the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 12 is the object of hatred and scorn. In fact, in verse 14, we read the Pharisees were out to destroy him. In Luke chapter 7, we have another Pharisee, and had he carried out his wishes, he would have destroyed the woman who had entered into his home. And so the heart of man in sin is being bent on destruction. How does the Lord react in that circumstance? What is his reaction? In Matthew 12, we find that the Lord had done a lot of miracles, but he was charging the people not to make known his fame. He was not actively seeking the popular support of the people. And then it goes on to quote Isaiah 42, where he is depicted as the one who does not break a bruise of reed, nor one who snuffs out or quenches the smoking wick. And it is particularly in that vein I would like to speak tonight, of the necessity for tenderness and compassion about what we be hearing in our dealings with one another. We shall consider some biblical examples of the way in which the Lord never broke a bruised reed, nor did he quench the smoking fire, but his gentleness and love and compassion, his tenderness and his dealings with people are manifest. And Peter tells us that we have these in Scripture so that we might follow his steps. Is this not a great laugh amongst us? To kindly treat one another. I would like in the final part of the message to take briefly how that the Lord has not broken the bruised reed of Israel. And he does not break the bruised reed who is a sinner. And he does not break the bruised reed who is a saint. But you and I in our experience have been like bruised reeds. And we have been like smoking flax. Thank God he has not treated us according to what he has said. And he has said in his word that as God has forgiven us, so we are to forgive one another. And this is why I read in Luke chapter 7, because the Pharisee who had invited the Lord Jesus to meet did not have a heart that was beating in unison with the Lord Jesus. And consequently, the man, proud of his own righteousness, and not realizing the depth of sin to which the woman is plunged, and was now forgiven, was but showing her love and appreciation to the Lord Jesus Christ, who treated her tenderly and compassionately. Perhaps, therefore, we can find something in the person of Christ to help us into this state of being more compassionate and more tender. This, of course, is what was in mind in the time when we had the verses, when we had the Bible reading earlier. The idea of discovering more in Christ so that we could be more like him. And my brother Campbell, who spoke this morning, had spoke the end of his message about going on to know Christ and appreciating him, and thus to manifest him here on earth. The Pharisees, as you see, are out to destroy the Lord Jesus. And this does not dissuade him from the pathway that he was on. And as he performs these miracles, and many were healed on his account, signals of his power amongst the people, He did not ask the people to actively mount a publicity campaign whereby he would be known. It's not that aspect of the passage I would like to pick up, but rather what is quoted from Isaiah 42. For in Isaiah 42 it says that he is not going to actively seek the attention of the people. He would not mount the publicity campaign that would be done today. For as you know, we are subjected to a barrage of advertisements and to a barrage of publicity campaigns as politicians and men who seek the public acclaim try to get their name before the public. This was not the method used by the Lord Jesus Christ. I am afraid that many times we resort to some of the same methods as used by the world. And we heard this afternoon, the call that we might not be conformed to the world in this way, but under the government of God, to be guided and controlled by the Holy Spirit. But especially, brethren and sisters, I want to speak of the Lord Jesus, who, in his gentle and compassionate way, would not bruise, would not break a bruised reed. And he would not snuff out or quench a smoking flax. First of all, the reeds were those plants found on the riverside. I have read a fair amount about the reeds, and different authors give different uses that were made of the reeds. Some even suggest that this was the original use of paper, if you were came from. But whatever the use was made, it's obvious that there was a point that a reed could reach in which it was no longer useful to whoever wanted it. And being bruised, it would be rejected. In one report I read, as the harvesters of the reeds were to move along the riverbank to check over the stock to see if it would serve their uses, some claim they were to make the baskets that the people used to use. But whatever the use was, there was a choice made of the reeds on the side of the riverbank, and any bruising on the stalk was sufficient for that reed to be rejected. And oftentimes the harvesters, instead of just pushing them aside, they would break them off and throw them into the river to be carried away by the current, useless as far as they were concerned, not fulfilling the object that they had in mind. And this figure is used to speak of the gentleness and the tenderness of the Lord Jesus Christ. A bruised reed he would not break. The smoking flax has reference to the old types of lamps that we've known, fed by kerosene in the tank below, coming up through the wicks. And how often I recall, especially when we were on holidays and we had those types of lamps, they would begin to smoke. Not only is it irritating to the eye, but it's irritating to the nostril. And there's two things you can do. You can either take a pair of scissors and trim the lamp so that instead of giving off smoke, it gives off light, or you can just cut it out or quench it altogether. Of the Lord Jesus, it says, he would not quench the smoking flax. It's obvious that he would work on it, trim it to the point where it could now function as it ought to function. With that in mind, we see the Lord's dealings with those with whom he had contact. Take verses John chapter 4, where the Lord comes into contact with the Samaritan woman, perhaps rejected by her own townspeople, a woman whose immoral past is well known. And yet, he speaks with her as he sits at the side of Jacob's well. Her surprise is indicated by the fact she says, how come you, a Jew, speak to me as a Samaritan? And as the conversation progresses, he reveals to her that he knows her condition from beginning to end. Would you have had contact with her if you knew her past history? Would you have sought to do something with her if you had known what she had been up to? Is it not true that sometimes we reject certain people because of the condition we find them in? We don't find them to be as highly motivated as we think they ought to be. We don't find them to be as cultured as perhaps we'd like them to be. Is it possible that people can come in and out of our gospel halls and the meetings we hold, and we immediately come to some judgmental value about them, and we reject or accept them depending upon how we see them to be? Should we not adopt what the Lord Jesus adopted? An attitude of tenderness and compassion. For it doesn't matter who the person be. We at one time were like they, bruised knees and smoking flax. And thank God he did not break up, nor did he quench us. The Samaritan woman was treated kindly and tenderly by the Lord Jesus. In fact, he said, if thou knewest, Jesus of God, and if thou knewest who it was that speaks with thee, thou would ask of him and he would give to thee living water. He says, where do you get this water from? He himself is the fount. In John chapter 8, we have the woman taken in adultery. And how those men who brought her to the feet of the Lord Jesus were expecting that immediate judgment would demand that she be stoned. But with marvelous wisdom, the Lord put them to the test. And their own guilty consciences forces them to leave the presence of the Lord Jesus. And here is a woman guilty before a holy God. And what did he say? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. How about Peter? After he had denied the Lord Jesus Christ, if you follow carefully the story of the Lord Jesus and the high priest's house, you'll find that as they speak to the Lord Jesus in a rough way, he says, but my followers, they'll tell you what my doctrine is. I've been in the temple, you've heard me speak, you know what I've said, but ask my followers. Peter was one of his followers, and I believe that when they accosted him, at least on one of the occasions, it was with an effort to clarify what was being said inside. But Peter denies the Lord Jesus. Isn't that true that if someone were to have done something so public and so serious as Peter did in our day, that we would be very loath to include them in any further projects for a good long time to come? And yet we find the Lord, according to 1 Corinthians 15, had a private conversation with Peter, and then he had a public conversation with Peter before the very ones who knew of Peter's deeds. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? Do you love me? And he invented in the task of feeding and caring for sheep with tenderness and with compassion. Certainly Peter would go from the presence of the Lord with that commitment, with that commendation, that requirement of the Lord, the care for the lambs and the sheep. Would he not therefore, as a result of being treated so kindly by the Lord, in turn treat those with whom he would have contact in the same way? All you have to do is read his first epistle to discover the heart of a shepherd opened up with tenderness and compassion toward the needy. What of the disciples when they were sleeping? Do you recall when the Lord was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And how he went and he prayed by himself, and when he came back he found that they were sleeping. He wakened them and went back and prayed again, came back, found them sleeping, and returned a third time. I believe that the Lord returned, he sat there while they slept. They were bruised knees. They were smoking flax. They were not fulfilling that for which they had been called. And yet he treated them with such gentleness and such tenderness. I think, too, not only of these that I have mentioned, but of Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, who there on the side of the road was crying out for mercy. And the hard-hearted disciples that were surrounding the Lord were telling him to stop. The Lord stopped. There's a smoking flax on the side of the road. The man would have quenched every cry that Bartimaeus uttered. But there was one who sees value in that man. And he stopped and gives him his sight. When we get to glory, perhaps we'll find out some of the things that Bartimaeus did after he received his sight. We have one case more that I'd like to mention, and that is John Mark. I believe someone read about him today. At any rate, we find that
he started off fairly good with Paul and Barnabas, who then returned to Jerusalem. And in Colossians chapter 4, where Brother Campbell was reading earlier today, we find a chart from Denmark's name is mentioned. And Paul says, now you have received some instruction about John Mark, but if he does come to you, receive him, because he is now profitable. Restoration has taken place. Here was a man who had burned brightly, and then, for reasons unknown to us, he has been fallen. He was only a smoky fog. He was only a moving roof. But the Lord, in his gratefulness, brought him back again, restored him to himself, so that Paul could recognize the grace of God has been at work in this man's life, and therefore we are to treat him with kindliness. And Paul instructs the believers in Colossae, to treat John Mark in a kindly way. And this brings me now to Luke 7. So we have this woman coming behind the Lord Jesus Christ and pouring upon his body that expensive perfume, a token of her love and affection. It's interesting to see how the Lord defends her. Here's a man, the Pharisee, who had invited the Lord Jesus into his home, but he wants to be selective as to whom should come. But the tenderness and compassion of the Lord Jesus is present. And it's interesting to see how he does defend her. He gives the man a parable to consider. One was a large debt, the other was a small debt. So that the man might relate to himself in the parable. And he indicates that this woman had been forgiven much. And therefore, she is manifesting her love to the Lord Jesus. Brethren and sisters, I am convinced in my own heart that the times that I experience the merciful forgiveness of God in my life, that it makes me more understanding and I act more merciful to those that I come in contact with. I am afraid we hold up the mirror and we do not see a true image of ourselves. We look at ourselves with rosy-colored eyes. My brother George Campbell, there in Stonis one night, made a comment that I haven't forgotten. He was saying, you know, we think of ourselves as so wonderful. He said, we see ourselves 10 feet tall. And we really do. We see ourselves as being much bigger and better than we really are. But only as we consider ourselves in the sight of a holy God, and as we experience the loving, kindly touch of the Savior upon our lives, will we then know how to treat one another. Consider, first of all, Israel. Truly a bruised reed, truly a smoking flax. We heard some of the prophecies that Habakkuk spoke to a people who were living in a dark day, in disobedience. But God has not cast away his people. There is yet to be, in the day to come, a restoration of Israel, as we see in the prophetic scripture. For the Lord Jesus Christ will be seen in his glory and majesty. But how is he treated them? He has not broken the nature of Israel. He has not quenched the smoking flax. How would you that? As sinners, whatever it was that caused the bruising in our life, bad habit, drugs, alcohol, anger, resentment, jealousy, whatever the manifestations of sin that there was in our lives that caused us to be bruised. Did he break us? Did he find us, as it were, at the side of the river and say, this can never be ever useful, and break us and throw us away? Thank God he did. He who created us, as we read in Colossians, for his glory, all of creation is to manifest his glory. He has come in to ruin the picture. Did you and I, instead of fulfilling the object for which we've been placed on earth, to give life, we're like smoking flax. What if he had quenched us? What if he, after we had committed a certain number of sins, had taken us from earth? We would have been lost forever. And I am sure that in this company tonight there are those who can trace the way in which God has treated them with kindliness
over many years of rebellion and disbelief, incredulity.
But finally, under the guidance of God, a message reached their hearts, and the Holy Spirit broke them down. And that smoking flax has been now brought to life. And that bruised reed has been found out, so that it's healthy and becomes useful.
Brothers and sisters, let me take one more step further with you. How about you and me as believers?
I'm afraid some of us are very loath to confess our sins.
Do you believe we could go a week without sinning?
You do? You believe it.
Do you believe you can go 2 days without sinning?
You might. I believe you believe it. I don't believe we can go a day. And this would make us, therefore, humble ourselves in the presence of God. The Pharisee, he received the Lord Jesus into his home. And when the woman came in, he was critical of her. Matthew 12, the Pharisees met together to destroy Jesus. He did not come to destroy. He came to bind up. He came to take the smoking flax and bring it to the point where it can give life and be profitable and useful for others. And this undoubtedly is the way in which God did us, so that we in turn might do the same to us. Of the Lord Jesus we read therefore in Isaiah 42. He will not cry, he will not ask others to make his publicity known, to speak of the wondrous things that he's done, but we see very clearly manifested that tenderness, that compassion, the one with the other. So that as we have been treated in this way by our Lord Jesus Christ, as we recognize ourselves as bruised reeds and broken flax, not being cast aside as useless, and beyond any repair. To view ourselves as created anew in Christ Jesus, and recognizing the love and tenderness and compassion that we reach that, so we will treat one another in the same way. And this will be seen at every level of our life. First of all, in the home. Young people to their parents. Fathers and mothers to their children. Possible fathers and mothers to treat their children unkindly? Most definitely. I have heard some horrible teasing done by a father of his son. He isn't feeling with tenderness or compassion. Fathers, let me say to you with tenderness. Your children will have a concept of God as Father by the way you treat them. Mothers, in the same way. Your children will come to a conclusion as to what God is like by the way you treat them. If going to meeting, if reading the Bible, if living your Christian life is a drudgery, your children will adopt the very same attitude that you do. They will begin in early life to spot in your character where there are these flaws. But if there is holiness and compassion, then God can work through that very Christian characteristic to win your children for God. But then this comes into the assembly. And I believe that, as Brother Wells mentioned this afternoon, that as submission to the Word of God is practiced in the home, it will be practiced in the assembly. And as certain things are instilled in the home life, it will come into the assembly also. And therefore, brethren and sisters, this tenderness and compassion will also govern our actions one with the other. Elders, shepherds toward the flock. And the flock, in their treatment of the elders. Here was a Pharisee, and he would have finished with this woman. What said this man being a prophet? He didn't know what kind of a woman this was. He would have put her out. I believe that the Pharisee did it before, he wouldn't have allowed her in. The holiness and compassion of the Lord Jesus reached into her knees, forgave her for sin despite her sin. He treated her tenderly. Maybe, therefore, as a result of this conference, the view of the ministry first, speak to our blessed Lord. Yes, Lord, we want to be like this. and you became an enemy. Yes, Lord, we want to do thy will. We might therefore appreciate how he treated us. We are reinforced. Let's be others.